Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Anime edition.
Hi, yay, yay.
I'm going to introduce what Sabrina watched today, because we finally did it, fam. And by fam, I mean me and our friend Elise. We got Sabrina to watch the first chapter, according to Netflix, the first 13 episodes of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, my favorite anime ever. What'd you think?
So I don't hate it. I really don't. Okay. I think it's interesting. Again, there is just something about anime that's not super appealing to me.
Mm.
And I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I like cartoons. I do.
Right. But so maybe, it's not the animation. It's not the style.
No, it's not the fact that it's animated. The subject matter isn't even... I like the magic system that's being presented here. I find the weird German influence so strange.
Yeah. All right. This is where I should have done my research, but I'm going to let you do the plot summary. What was the first chapter of Brotherhood about?
So the first chapter or first part, Netflix calls it parts.
Oh.
So the first part is an introduction to Edwin and Alphonse Elric, who have committed the ultimate sin of alchemy and tried to bring their mom back to life. Oh, did I say Edwin?
Yes.
I meant Edward. I keep wanting to call him Edwin. I feel like I thought...
No, you made me panic for a second.
It is Edward. Because they call him Ed so much. And for some reason, I thought it was Edwin. Maybe because of how much I like Narnia.
Oh.
No, but that's Edmund.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So, you know what? I have no idea why I keep wanting to call him Edwin. So if I do that again, I'm sorry. So it's Edward and Alphonse.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they've committed the ultimate sin, which is trying to bring their mom back to life. You can't bring life through magic or whatever. And in doing so, Edward lost his arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And Alphonse lost his entire body. So mm-hmm. now he is just a hollow metal suit. And they're trying to find their body by recreating the Philosopher's Stone. And there are also these weird people who are also the seven deadly sins involved. I don't know how yet, because there's no explanation. All I know is they're called homunculuses, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like there's 800 things happening in this show all at once.
Yeah, which is why when Sabrina was telling me about I'm watching this part, and for some reason I think of the show as just one 64-episode show. So when she was like, oh, I'm only watching the first season, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then I looked, and I'm still looking to figure out, where it cuts off. And the first 13 episodes, that is not enough to fully grasp what's truly happening. You just kind of get an idea of okay, I think I understand what's happening. The world building setup. And then you don't even get into the nuance and the depth of the plot. At least
I feel like you right now. Because usually it's me who has the context for the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no context for other than what you've seen, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's the opposite. I have no context for anything other than 13 episodes that I have watched.
Mm-hmm.
And past that, I have absolutely no idea where this show is going.
Mm.
So this is the second anime that I've ever watched, and
yes,
because the first one was Yuri on Ice,
mm-hmm.
and I think one thing I kind of dislike is that there's always, a recurring joke that I guess never gets old in anime, but gets very old for me very quickly, because in Yuri on Ice, it was he's fat, in every episode, they were calling him fat, and in this one, it's calling Ed short. And, it bothers me so much because I'm just so tired of it. This short-tempered little shorty.
Okay, so I guess the groundwork things that I need to be asking so I know where you're at. You watched the English dub.
Yes, but I also had subtitles on.
Oh, okay. That doesn't change too much of the experience, but...
No, they're so different.
The subs to the dub? Yes. The subtitles to the dub? Yeah. Oh.
I would honestly, at one point I changed it to Japanese because I was like, you know what, I am just watching it. So, because sometimes I would watch it and also do something else, so I would put the dub on. But then at one point I put put it in Japanese again because I was like, you know what, like, let me just sit and watch. And then I was like, wait, but I'm so much more curious about how the dub is different from the subs that I will like literally sit and watch and just like hear and look for the difference and be like, why?
That's fascinating, because that's a huge thing. I think we've gotten into it when we talk about the anime episode of the part of fandom culture is dub versus sub. I personally am a sub snob, but it's something I've also been thinking about on my own regardless, is just like what gets lost in translation. So when anime gets dubbed, obviously they have like professional translators and actors going through and trying to convey as much of the story. And unrelated to anime or this specifically, I know that Netflix doesn't always have great translation subtitles. Like me, I watch Asian dramas and stuff, and I'll watch it sometimes with like people who can speak Chinese or Korean, and they'll read the subs and hear what's happening. They're like, that's not right. So I'm going to watch some episodes now with the dub, reading the subtitles and seeing how badly Netflix got it. Because I would trust the dub.
I'm not sure that, so it depends. Like, a Netflix original series, usually, like, they're in charge of the subtitles. But I've watched shows before where, like, at the end it says, subtitled by blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's true. Know?
Third-party company. So sometimes when it comes from, like, different production places or production companies, I think the subtitles come with them, you know?
That makes sense.
Anyways. So I feel like maybe if you like watched an episode with the subtitles on Netflix and then the same episode on Hulu, like then you can kind of see if it's the same or not. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah,
but the what I heard on the dub and what I saw on the subtitles often were pretty different. Like, what was being said, like, the spirit of the sentence was usually the same.
Right.
But it was, like, structured differently, or sometimes different, it was, like, different words. So, again, like, I would say it was the spirit of what was being said was still there, but there were certain places where they would say, use different words. Where I was like, what was the point in using that? You know, like, I just didn't get it. And I think part of it is that they're trying to match the, like, animation mouths.
Mouth flaps.
To what they're saying.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't make any sense to me because it's literally just, like a up and down motion. There's no, like, you know, like, if it was Disney, then it would kind of be like, oh, the like, I can tell movement. That they're saying, because they animate the mouths to shape the words.
Yeah, yeah.
But anime doesn't do that, so I don't understand the point in trying to match words to mouth.
In the few con panels I've gone to with dub actors, is it's more of a, they do it and they try so hard to do it because the second they don't, that's more of a mental tick for the viewer than if it's right. Like, you would notice it way more if the mouth stopped moving and like the words kept going. Even if it was animated and you weren't really paying attention, the second a mistake like that would happen, you would start hyper paying attention. So that's why.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, it was just kind of funny because it's like an up and down. So even when I was watching in Japanese for like the 10 minutes I was doing that, I was just like, it's the same experience like watching the word, like watching the mouths and hearing the words.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I'm not mad that I'm going to continue watching this show, but it's also like not, I'm not super interested in watching more anime after this, you know?
That's fair.
Like, it's just not one of my genres, I think.
Yeah.
And I know that anime is so expansive and has many different genres within it, but yeah.
No, I think it is fair to say that there is a certain style and characteristics that if you can identify it, like, the same feeling between Yuri on Ice and Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, then it's safe to say that you're just not super into anime.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't,
I mean,
know.
That's the only comparison I'll make to those two shows, because it seems like they pick one thing about the main character that they're just going to, like, make fun of, and then they do that, and they beat that horse to death.
They will never stop calling Ed short. It's,
I know.
It's, so is a, he, it's a thing.
Is he actually older than he is presented to be?
So the thing about Brotherhood Avatar. That Avatar did not do is they age. Like, Brotherhood takes place in at least, I think, 2 or 3 year time span. And so you kind of see, later on, you'll see Ed get a little taller. Like, there's a moment where you're just like, oh, he grew. Which Avatar did not do. They told us that took, like, years end, and that's not true.
Yeah, when he gets mad about being short, my question / theory was, is he stunted at the age he was when he committed the sin, you know?
Yeah. So I think whenever he starts out, he's 15. And
okay. Alphonse, so he would just be like a small person.
Yeah, no, he's
no.
just
Alphonse really... just told us at the end of this season that he is 14 years old.
Oh, okay. So then Ed was probably like 15, 16. No, he's just really short, and that you're right, that's just the one character trait weakness thing that they are going to drive into the ground, because that's his thing.
Yeah.
It's his, like, humbling Achilles heel recurring joke thing.
Okay.
Because it drives him nuts.
Yeah, it does. Which I think also bothers me. It's like how bothered he is by it. Like, just chill. Like, you're short. Deal with it. Like, wear heels. Like, what do you want to do about it? Can't you alchemy your way out of being short? Like, can't you just magic yourself taller?
That's what got them in trouble. It's so the premise of the
no,
their
I thought
basis,
what got them in trouble was that they tried to bring someone back to life.
The premise of their alchemy is one for one exchange. So they were trying to, like, recreate the what human matter and, like, stuff their mom's soul inside, and that's what went wrong, pretty much. So he can't one for one himself taller, because that would require more humans' flesh and bones. So he can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So before I went into this show, I feel like I didn't really know much about it. Like, the thing that I knew was that it had been recommended to me multiple times by multiple people.
Oh, okay.
Like, someone recommended it to me in high school. Elise recommended it to me a million times. You recommended it to me. It had been recommended to me often by mm-hmm. multiple people. So I knew that it was, like, good, like, right. like, objectively good, but I had really no idea what it was about. I think Elise told me, like, a little bit, like, that
mm-hmm.
basically it's about, like, a kid trying to get his brother's body back, so he's just walking around in, like, a suit of armor, basically. And, like, so that was all. Like, I guess I imagined something more along the lines of, not Avatar, but, like, you know, they're just roughing it on their own. They mm-hmm. have no support system. They're just, like, going out, like, in the middle of, like, nothingness and just, yeah. like, trying. Like, that's kind of what I imagined. Like, not that they were cops.
Yeah, they are literally dogs of the military. I think when, because I was sold to it the same way, because, well, I had an easier sell because I watched anime to begin with. But my friend was just like, oh, it's just like deeper, more violent Avatar. And I was like, okay, sign me up. And I was watching, like, the elemental, because I think the first episode involves, like, a lot of ice and water. And I was like, so he's an ice alchemist? And he's like, no, okay. There's a lot of elements involved, but don't think of it like Avatar. So I think that even though that's, like, one of the biggest selling points for people of, like, oh, it's just like Avatar, it's actually a very misleading comparison.
Oh, I don't mean that I expected it to be like Avatar with the different elements and all of, I mean, like, the journey, that the way that they have yeah. the journey, like, I thought it would just be the two of them on their own, no supervision, right. like, there wouldn't be any, like, support systems behind that. I thought it was just gonna be, like, the two of them
right.
traveling from town to town kind of situation.
Okay, so then what did you think of the military cast?
I am literally sitting here waiting for them all to realize that the government is a sham. I like have a feeling that's where this is going.
Mm.
because it sounds like the seven deadly sins, which is what I'm just calling them because that's what they are. It sounds like the seven deadly sins were a horrible mistake that the government created. And they're just trying to, like, kind of get revenge. Like, it almost seems like they're getting revenge on the government. I will say gluttony scares the shit out of me. Like, why? Yeah. Why is he a cannibal?
He's gluttonous.
For human flesh? That's not what gluttony is.
He consume. He monster.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
He reminds me of that mole character, like, from Atlantis.
Yes.
The guy who digs a lot, you know?
Yes. Oh, it's been years since I've seen that movie, but I think I remember. He has, like goggles and a headlamp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of reminds me of that guy. So I'm just assuming that, like, Alan, Ed are gonna learn more about the seven deadly sins past, and they're gonna be like, oh my god, the military sucks. And then they're gonna be like, okay, but the seven deadly sins also suck, so it's gonna be a mad attempt to take them both down at the same time.
Roughly. I mean, it's 64 episodes worth of content. You can imagine the plot lines and the threads that they have to weave together and figure out to tell the final story, which they do. The ending is very satisfying. I am very happy with, because again, they have like a bajillion different threads and you're like, what is this? And then you see it all come together in the final part and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm with you now.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've got a good grasp on like their magic system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the world building after this one season. And like, it's not bad writing that I am kind of figuring out what their story is. Mm-hmm, what story is being unfolded. I think that's not to like take this away from anime, but like just story writing in general, I find that I feel like writers in general, TV writers, they get very upset when you figure out what like the plot is and then they just change everything because they don't want you to know until it happens. It's like, I don't want shock value. I want a good story. Like,
yeah.
You are laying a groundwork for a specific story. If I guess what you're doing, that means you're telling a good story.
Right. It means I can follow along with your thought process and the way these characters act. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel that.
So if that's the way that Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is going, then I'm okay with that because it's kind of the groundwork that's being laid out and I can see that that's happening and I can tell where it's going. I think, again, like I said, I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I will finish it.
Wow.
Especially if we continue doing episodes about the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If we finish this as a series. And yeah, but I probably just won't watch more anime unless I have to do it for this.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was like, I can't think of another anime. We're doing a Yuri on Ice episode. I'm putting it out there. This winter, wait for it. We're going to do a Yuri on Ice episode.
I'm not rewatching it.
You don't have to. I'll do the rewatching this time.
Okay.
I'm due for one. But I think that's totally fair. And, I wanted to bring up, because we were talking about the military, and how you said that it was kind of weird that they incorporated it.
How German it is, and how, like, the only time I ever see words, like, they use is in, like, Nazi propaganda stuff, or, like, anti-Nazi stuff. So I'm very confused by the Nazism of this. Which is why I immediately assume that there's going to be, like, an unveiling of awfulness in the government.
Yeah. You mean how they literally call their leader the Führer?
Yeah.
So again, in my total, I have a very basic half remembered Wikipedia's understanding of this. Japan has a somewhat questionable admiration/inspiration with Nazi Germany. You see it a lot in anime, in the costuming, the world building, the military layout in their different shows. And it's just something that either people are used to whenever they watch anime, or if it's a known comparison, which I think is what Fullmetal Alchemist is going for. But for a lot of somewhat troubling historical reasons that I don't fully know, it's really common to see strong inspiration from Nazi Germany in anime. And I'm not going to try and explain that because I don't know why, but it is a recurring theme in this genre Maybe that'll be an episode we'll figure out, but...
That feels immediately troubling to me.
Yeah, it's not great. Don't think about it too hard until you have to, which I guess we'll have to at some point, but that's a theme. So you're not alone in being like, because that's literally a lot of different military shows.
I mean, I was semi-aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I follow enough people on Tumblr who do watch anime that, like, sometimes that discourse gets to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't really delve into it very deep because I don't understand what's happening, so I just move on.
Yeah, it's vaguely troubling. And I think Brotherhood was more aware of it than most other shows. But, because it's literally just all over their military. It's just, like, they're in this weird parallel universe fake Germany.
Yeah. So there were the two military people, specifically the guy who loves his wife and child and
Hughes,
and the person that he was working with,
also with black hair, he does the snappy snaps.
Yep.
His name is Mustang.
Okay. Yes, I knew it was something like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I spent the entire time being like, what are their motivations? Like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, I couldn't tell what side they were on. Mm-hmm. Like, are they actually working against Ed and Al? Like,
mm-hmm.
what's happening here? I was so confused by them. Mm-hmm. And then Hughes went and died, and I was like, oh.
I didn't realize that happened in the first 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Yeah, so I was like, wait, so was he good all along, or should I be... I'm not sure how to feel about his death. Like, I wasn't sad. Mm.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was a tragic death for sure, but I personally wasn't sad because I spent the entire show being, like, very weary of him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because outwardly, he was very inviting and nice to everyone,
mm-hmm,
but, like,
mm-hmm.
whenever he was having conversations with Mustang, I was like...
What side are you on? What's the play? Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
I wasn't sure what was happening there. And, like, Mustang himself, I really don't understand. I don't understand his position. Like, I thought he was the boss, and then he wasn't the boss. Like, I don't, is it like he's the captain of a precinct? Like, I don't mm-hmm. get it. And he wants to become the Führer one day. So he seems very politically ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't trust him immediately.
I think that is a good assessment of them. I will say... Hughes is one of the most beloved characters of the series, partially because he dies so early on. he's a good man. So, yeah.
I will name two people immediately that I think are better than him. Winry and their teacher.
Okay, unrelated. That's a whole separate track. Dear Lord. I can't believe you just did that. Anyways. Yes, obviously. I didn't even realize we were comparing all of the characters. I thought we were just talking about the military squad.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, like, saying of all of the whole show, he was one of the most beloved characters.
He is. Of the whole show, he is one of the most beloved characters. But I was also just thinking within military characters. But I'm glad we're going here now. Brotherhood is one of the best women in the entire anime industry. You're probably not going to find a whole lot of women better than the cast that you're about to meet.
I was very shocked to see how supported they are by women specifically.
Mm.
That, you know, when it was like, oh, it's time to go see our mechanic, that I was expecting some, like, dude, and then it was Winry, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh. Okay. And then it was like, oh, we have to go see our teacher. Teacher. I don't remember there being pronouns or anything describing her before we see her. And I was like, or maybe there was, because when I saw her, I wasn't surprised that it was a woman. Mm. But regardless, I was like, oh. So the person that keeps Al, like, functioning,
mm-hmm.
not Al, Ed, functioning, yeah. is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother, and they're basically the only family that the two have left.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher who taught them literally everything they know is mm-hmm. also a woman. So I was pretty shocked to see that they are so supported by women, and that they are equal players and shown to be very impressive people and not just, like, there to be there.
Yeah. And it's a shame that weak and not intelligent women is such a trope in anime, and that's why these ones stand out. But in general, they're also just standout characters, and they're only gonna get better throughout the story. You're only gonna meet other really strong women. Even the, like, the villainous women, like Lust, she's a really interesting villain. I like her her development as well. My favorite woman in the show is Hawkeye, the one who does all the guns. She's Mustang's subordinate.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it, now that you mentioned it, I realize that for the most part, a lot of them do have supporting roles, but they're also the ones entirely keeping the men going. Like, yeah. The show wouldn't happen without the women's support. And they do come into their own, so don't worry. There's some women you're going to meet later that I'm very excited for you to meet. It's going to be fun.
I mean, I'm not worried about them. I really do love these two characters. I love these women. Like, meeting Winry, I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I was happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then seeing the teacher, I was like, interest. Like, her persona, her personality
mm-hmm.
was not what I expected.
Very Toph vibes, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, for a show that I have no expectations of,
mm-hmm.
it, like, raised expectations, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's fair.
So I really liked that. But I feel the need to talk about an episode that I texted you about.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry.
So, it's kind of funny. So I sent Lily a text after I finished this episode, which is like the third episode of the show.
By the way, Brotherhood fans immediately know what you're talking about just because you said it's the third. We all know the third episode of this show.
So I immediately, I finished the episode and I texted Lily. I went, this show's fucked up. Like, I didn't expect it to get so messed up.
Three episodes in, you have no warning. You barely understand the world that you're operating in, and then you just go straight to the pits of hell.
Yeah. So, for those of you who are like me and have never seen this show, there is an entire episode where the boys are going to see an alchemist who specializes in chimeras, basically, like into mm-hmm. like morphing different animals together to create chimera, like whatever. If mm-hmm. you don't know what a chimera is, I really can't explain it other than it's multiple different animals all in one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, he's very impressive because one time he made a chimera who could talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know that that's an impressive thing and not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the guy's house. He's very stressed out because his, like, test date is coming up soon. Because apparently you have to test to be a state alchemist, which is...
Prove your merit.
Yeah. And he has nothing better. He has not achieved a better chimera from the one who spoke,
mm-hmm.
like, the first time. And so he's freaking out. The boys are trying to learn about, like, maybe they can do something to, like, fix their bodies through his research. And they meet his daughter, who is, like, I don't know, 5? I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so uncomfortable hearing this show. Lily is,
like, shaking and, like, waving her arms around because I hate this so much. They meet the daughter who is, like, 5 years old, and she's going, like, oh, mommy left when, like, 2 years ago and blah, 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 and, like, they start playing with her, and the dog is very annoying and keeps, like, jumping on Ed, and because the dog is bigger than Ed. Like, and the two boys, like, have, like, fostered a relationship with this little girl, and they come to admire her and, like, love her a little bit, like a little sister, kind of.
Yeah.
They go back to the house, and the alchemist is like, oh, I'm not gonna fail my test anymore. I'm not gonna fail my test anymore. Look at my new chimera. It speaks, and it speaks more than the other one. And it's literally, like, talking. And then it starts going, Daddy? And the boys are like, Oh my god. That's Nina and her dog. Ugh. Her father fused Nina and her dog together.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
What the fuck?
Third episode in. You don't come back from that. Chimera
that we talked about before that could talk, that killed itself, was his wife. Lily, what the fuck did you make me watch?
Yeah, no, that episode, you don't come back from that as a person. That's just gonna live in your brain forever now. And I can't help you. It's a running joke in the anime community about how much that hurts literally everyone. People will, like, reference it or, like, make bad jokes, and everyone's immediate reaction is just like, ugh! Because it just, that doesn't leave your brain. That is information that stays with you forever.
I just, I don't know what to do with the emotions I feel about that episode.
Yeah.
Because it's just so horrible. And I think this is also the episode that they introduce, like, a state alchemist serial killer.
Oh, Scar, the one with the X on his face.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it I think the episode starts with him killing some other alchemist, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. it ends with him killing this alchemist, and then killing the Nina dog hybrid, because he's like...
It's a mercy kill.
It's a mercy kill, and honestly, it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of glad that happened.
Yeah.
Which is also an emotion I don't like having.
Yeah, the point, I don't even remember the point of that episode. It was basically one to show just how dark alchemy gets, and also how crazy ambition drives people, because he did that. The dad did that because he didn't want to lose his status in the military as a state alchemist. One of the things that I remember the most is him clutching his pocket watch over his daughter, and I was like, yeah. So there is no coming back from that episode. I don't know why they did that third one in. I don't know what the grand moral we're supposed to take in other than just soul-crushing disgust.
And like, to know, I think another aspect of this episode is to show you what lines Ed and Al will not cross for their goal.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because one of the things in their whole, like, journey is once they figure out how to undo what they'd done, they were like, we're coming back for you, Nina. Like, we're gonna fix this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because what seems to be their driving force in this season is to get a Philosopher's Stone, which can help you do transmutations without a one-to-one,
mm-hmm.
like, exchange.
Yeah.
That you can just, you know...
Do it.
Do it, and there are no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Except there are. Because the making of the thing is a consequence of itself. Regardless, they are, you know, searching for this, so they assume that once they have the stone, they can just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll have the stone, they've fixed themselves, they can fix her, because they don't need to, like, have the specialty or skill for it, they can just do it. I'm sorry, I just can't get the image of the dog thing out of my head.
Oh, that's gonna stay with you for a very long time.
And then when Scar kills her dad, and she's just like, Daddy, you hurt Daddy. Like, what? Broken after that.
Yeah, I don't think I watched, because I remember when I watched it, I was in high school. I have very strong memories of watching the show. And I was, like, just steaming along, you know, my first little two episodes, and then I hit that third wall, that wall, and I don't think I watched the show for, like, 2 weeks, for, like, at least minimum. And I was telling my friend, I was like, what the f-? I was, like, texting him all caps, like, the hell is this shit? I'm done. And he said, just, like, you have to go back. And I think it took me, like, at least a few weeks to get to episode 4. And, like, they're gonna get into more dark themes and philosophical musings and so on and so forth. It does not, depending what your lines are, it does not get that fucked up again.
Okay. But I will. So, actually, what's kind of funny is that when we decided to do this episode, and I was the one who was like, you know what, like, you know what, I'll do it. Like,
yeah.
We talk about anime enough. This is going to be the thing that, like, Lily knows more about, but I, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, not that we both know a lot about Marvel, but, like, it's going to be the thing that I'm going to be, like, absolutely brand new to.
Yeah.
Much like you were to some of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, like, I sat down and I watched, like, the first two episodes and I stopped.
No.
Because I was like, I don't have to watch this for another few more weeks, and I didn't feel like it, and I wasn't totally, like, taken in, so I was like, I don't feel the need to binge this. And then I started watching it again, because this I needed to watch it for this. And so basically the first episode back was the Nina episode.
That's awful. That is rough. That's...
And I was like, I can't take a break. I have to keep going.
You really did get through it. We just went, like, off a cliff, 1-2, down, and then you're on the descent up.
The ascent?
Yes, thank you.
The descent up. Yeah, so, yeah, that's where I'm at. I think nothing else that happens after that is remotely as bad as that episode.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things happen. The show went there, and I don't know why they went there so soon, like you said, but they did, and that's where I'm at. But, you know, I think I'm excited to keep going. Like, I finished that, like, after I finished the 13th episode, I texted you and I was like, oh, I get what you mean now by, like, not realizing there are seasons, because it kind of, if you're watching it in parts, that ending is kind of abrupt.
Yeah.
Like, because the final episode is that Alphonse gets kidnapped by Greed.
Oh, you meant Greed. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because the other one is Envy. I thought Envy was non-binary.
They are.
Oh, okay.
They're supposed to be.
Well, the dub and I think the subs gender them to he, so.
I'll let you finish and then I'll explain.
But so, like, it's Alphonse gets kidnapped by Greed, and then, which is horrible. The idea of someone being inside you, even if you're a hollow shell, like, that's how they do that. They put someone inside of his armor.
Oh, and make him walk.
And and then Edward has to save him, and he, like, comes through, and then there's that whole fight, and then it just ends with the teacher showing up and being like, rah, 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 like, yelling, and then they take him down, and then Al is just still gone.
Oh, okay.
So, it's kind of, like, abrupt, but it's not a normal end-of-season cliffhanger. Like, it's an end-of-episode cliffhanger. Like, whatever happens in the next episode, it feels like what will happen, like, you're gonna find out in the next episode, you're not gonna find out next year, you know?
Right. I'm trying to remember. So the other thing, we'll spend some time talking about at the end. But the way most people, or at least I know, measure anime is by openings. So Brotherhood has 5 opening theme songs, 5 separate opening theme songs. And that's how you mark the different story arcs.
I mean, there are 5 parts in Netflix, so maybe that.
Yeah. I don't know where they split it up, but I assume it's, like, by when you start part 2, it's going to be a new opening.
I skip it anyway.
Did you watch it at least once?
I did, but...
Okay. Do
I have to keep watching it now to see when they change?
I recommend, whenever it changes, I recommend seeing it once just so you get a feel of it. Because, like, the animation is fun, the music is really good. That's another anime purist thing of, like, anime purists, even my roommates, they never skipped opening. They never skip an opening, ever. If it doesn't... I skip openings after, like, 2 or 3 episodes. So that's a preference thing.
I find anime has a strangely high ladder for gatekeeping.
Oh, it's mad high. I don't even know why. We could have a whole episode on that alone. It's absolutely bananas. The purism and the condescension within the anime community. It's absolutely wacko. But anyways, the openings for Brotherhood are legendary, so I recommend at least giving each one a different listen. That's the other fun thing about anime as a genre, is the openings. And then what I wanted to say about Envy. So what I know and this is things that I've just, like, picked up from the internet. Apparently, in the Japanese, like, the original Japanese version, the way they refer to them is with a gender-neutral pronoun in Japanese. But because whenever the show was made and dubbed and, you know, gender is new, he was automatically made he because there was no English equivalent to the Japanese pronoun. But in theory, okay. I mean, technically this applies to all the homunculi, or all the seven sins, is they're monsters, so they have no gender. But specifically envy.
Ooh, because, I don't like that.
I mean, I don't know gender theory enough to really get into it, but envy specifically because they're a shapeshifter. They're more gender fluid than lust, who is specifically always a very curvaceous woman.
Yeah, I just mean I don't like the they're monsters so they have no gender comparison. Woo.
that's something I said as just thinking. That's not like a reflection of people's thoughts, you know?
No, I like. Yeah, but you had to get that from somewhere, you know?
Mm.
Like, your thought is not a standalone thought. Like, someone else could have that thought as well just by watching the show and consuming it and realizing, oh, homunculi actually have no gender, and they're all, and all the seven deadly sins are, like, kind of the monsters of the show and can make that comparison of no gender, non-binary is monster, or is bad, that. Is evil, you know?
Right.
So I feel like that's iffy.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because I know that even in the She-Ra, they have a non-binary character who goes by they, them, and their name is Double Trouble, and they're a shapeshifter as well. And people were kind of like, it's kind of messed up that your only non-binary character has, like, no side. Like, They'll go to whatever side, like, fits best for them at the moment, you know?
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
They're not good, they're not bad, because they can't decide. They just go with whoever's gonna, like, save them. Like, whatever the winning side is.
Oh, okay. Huh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of has become a trope, which is kind of bad, in the same way, you know, trans women being played by men can be kind of harmful to trans women, cis men playing trans women, I mean. So it's that kind of comparison, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I feel like it's interesting, like, so much was happening in this season, and there were so many characters introduced, and so many plots to understand and so much to, like, know that part of me is like, yeah, you can talk about all those different things, and the other part of me is like, it's a lot.
It definitely is a lot, and they're still not even done laying out the groundwork,
which is insane.
But I will say the story as you go is very good, like the overall, like the mystery, and as they're trying to figure out their the plot elements. I think what makes Brotherhood endure is, one, it's very tight writing, but two, the characters go through so, like, each individual character goes through such a great arc, that as much as it's story-driven, it's also very character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look forward to growth, and in Ed's case, literal growth.
I mean, I thought he had such a thing about his height, because, like, he should be, like, 22 and fully aged, but stuck in the, like, that is genuine. I thought that his whole thing was like, oh, like, I, like, as much as this is, like, I don't know, probably messed up to say, Ed could probably just live on his life with his little mechanical arm, and, like, you know, like, he can live with his life with those prosthetics. Like, he doesn't need his old body back, because for all intents and purposes,
he's fine, right?
Because like, yeah, we do see what happens when, you know, the prosthetics go haywire. Would he, I'm sure he, and that's literally the point of the show, he wants his, like, human limbs back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Al wasn't in the scenario, if he still had his body, Edward probably wouldn't be trying to get any part of that back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure. Al is his mate greatest motivation. And then he literally, I don't know, I'm trying to remember, but he sees his metal parts as just a mistake, like a reminder of his greatest mistake kind of a thing. But you're right. Both of the brothers of just like Al is their greatest motivation.
That was kind of a depressing part of the season when they went to the like laboratory, the prison laboratory, and the serial killer guy.
You met Barry the Chopper.
Yep. I really did love when Al was like, I don't know who you are, and he was like, I don't know who you are. What are you talking about? And like, obviously, the characters had to realize that the two of them were hollow, but I immediately was like, oh, they're hollow too.
Mm.
Because the way their voices come out are the exact same way Al's voice comes out. With that weird, like, echo.
Yeah.
As if, like, their voice is vibrating between the armor. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So clearly these are ex-prisoners. And they are also stuck in this. And then I was like, oh, so maybe the lack of a body is how you make the Philosopher's Stone. Like, you can take the body, but not the soul. Like, maybe that's how you can make the Philosopher's Stone. But they haven't figured that out yet, or I'm wrong, but...
You do find out how one is made. I don't remember at what point, but you do.
Like, it's not great. They got the clue that, like, a living being is needed. But they haven't found the truth within the truth yet. That was the whole point of going to see the teacher, is hopefully the teacher could help them learn the truth within the truth.
There are some really, like, existential things that they'll get into about the magic system, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna take your word for it. I'm not, like, okay, fam.
Yeah. But, Barry the Chopper kept telling Alphonse, like, hey, how do you know you're real?
Yeah.
How do you know? And I feel so bad for those, like, two episodes where Al is just sitting there being like, I'm a puppet.
Al is like, what'd he say? 14, 15?
Yeah.
He's a child. Don't make him do that.
I mean, the person who told him was literally a serial killer.
I know.
So, it makes sense.
Yeah.
There's that. And I just, like... It was just so sad in that moment where Al, like, yelled at Ed and was like, I'm just your puppet, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And then, like, Winry was just like, you idiot. And, like, knocks him in the head with the wrench a bunch of times. I also love how I feel like Al was like, ow, what'd you do that for? But isn't the whole thing is that he doesn't feel pain?
He can't feel things. I guess I don't know, maybe, you know, his soul heard it and he just reflectively said, ow.
Yeah, it's kind of like when someone, like, you don't expect someone to, like, bump you and you say ow, but anyways. It didn't hurt. Like,
The three of them have, I think, one of my favorite, I have many favorite relationship dynamics, but the three of them is up there. I just, very cute childhood friends.
Yeah, it's a good dynamic. Hughes was annoying, though, with being like, yeah, you're gonna marry this one. You're gonna marry this one. Find yourself a wife. Oh my god. I can see why he is endearing to fans for that very reason. And it is kind of... I think maybe what I don't like about anime is that everyone is an over-exaggerated version of themselves, you know?
That makes sense.
Like, maybe Ed being that's angry. The thing that makes me kind of go like, I don't, like, this isn't a genre that I like. But, yeah, because I feel like even in the cartoons that I do watch, that I enjoy, you know, those characters are... every character is an exaggeration of a person, but, like, it's not, like, just a... I don't know, it's not taken to 3,000 the way it is in anime.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. The style, the animation stylizations that they go for. Because there are times when Hughes, like, looks normal, but then the second he's, like, full dad mode, he gets literal heart eyes and stuff like that. So it's definitely taken further, which is a trope.
Yeah, and I know that that's how anime is stylized. Like, I know that, like, that's how that works.
Right.
Just because I've consumed stuff that has homaged anime in that way. Like, Teen Titans has done stuff like that. Even Avatar has done stuff like that. There are... It's hard to watch animation and not see, like, references to anime because of how big anime is within animation. It's just not nearly as extreme.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But again, like I said, I'm gonna keep watching the show. I think it is interesting. I like the magic system within it. I think the system that they're laying out, the world building that's being laid out, is an interesting concept. So I'm not like trudging through and being like, oh my god, I can't believe I watched it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want someone to listen to this episode and think that, like, I don't like it, because it's not that I don't like it. It's just that, like, it's just not my genre.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tropes and over-exaggeration, I hope you like yelling. You're just going to get a lot...
Do you mean to tell me...
of impassioned speeches.
That the amount of yelling I've already experienced is not even the tip of the iceberg?
It's pretty average. You're not going to get full Dragon Ball Z yelling, but you're going to get a lot of impassioned speeches. It's gonna be great.
Okay.
Just focus on how great the women are. That'll carry you through.
The other thing I find very funny is that the difference between the voice actor who plays Ed in the English version and the Japanese version, the octaves are completely different.
Really?
Oh. It's like Ed talks at, like, my kind of, like, he kind of has, like, a higher pitched voice.
Right, right.
And then the Japanese is like.
Yeah. He's definitely, like, a husky 15-year-old kid. And it's great because it's a woman voicing him, you know? Because, like.
Wait, what?
For a lot of anime. Oh, I might have to check.
I don't think that was a woman.
A woman voicing Al. That's what it is.
No, because I was gonna say, like, Ed is not voiced by a woman.
Yeah, no, he's not. I totally spaced on that. Because I was gonna say, just in any animation, women do, like, young boys' voices, and I thought Ed was one of them. He's not. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite a voice difference.
Well, the voice actor in English for Ed is definitely still, like, a man. But I think they're putting, like, their voices up higher, you know? Or maybe they genuinely found a kid, but I don't think that's what happened there. His voice is just a lot higher. And then once you switch to the Japanese, it's like, like, it's just, like, so deep. It's, like, down in the chest.
Wait. Okay, hang on. Was I right the first time? I think a woman voices
There's
Ed.
No way that's a woman.
No. Okay, and I'm recording again so we get this on air. It's a woman. In Japan, her name is, I assume Romi, R-O-M-I, Romi Park. She is a Korean-Japanese actress. She's real good. And also, looking at her credits, it looks like she does a lot of, like, young teenage boy type roles. So this must be, like, her acting. She also does a lot of female roles, but, like, range.
I don't know what to say to that. Because it was just, like, I was like, whoa. Like, I mean, maybe it just, like, felt low because I was so used to the English actor, you know?
It's so low.
But I just was, I was taken aback. I was like, why? I mean,
yes. He's got a lot of angst in those 16 years.
I mean.
And he smoked a pack a day, apparently.
I don't know. It was just a lot for me.
Yeah. This I think the first 13 episodes is a lot for anybody, to be fair. That's a lot. That's just so much information to take in.
Honorary mention, though, is the strongman alchemist. I really like him.
Oh, the one who's just, like, strips and sparkles? Armstrong.
Yes. I love him.
Good.
I would die for him. I don't need to, but I would.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that earnestness that I love, that I feel like I should have felt for Hughes, but I was just so caught up with his, like, perceived deception that I couldn't feel that way for him, you know?
Okay. Yeah. No, I get it. He, Armstrong is definitely hard on his sleeve type.
Yes, and I love him.
Good.
So that's my other honorary mention for the season, and that's it. And I think,
all right,
I think I'm good. Like, I...
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch season two whenever we plan out that episode, because, mm-hmm. I don't want to forget things before we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of excited for season two. Or part two. Cool.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. Like, this is a fun watching experience, because...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, like, trudging my... I'm not, like, ugh, like, I can't... the episodes are short. I think that helps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're only 30 minutes. It's not like I'm watching a whole hour. So 13 episodes is pretty easy to get through when they're only 30 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
And I think this is a good starter anime for a lot of people. This is...
Technically, it's not my starter anime, but...
Okay, I count anything under 3 as a starter.
Okay. All right. So I guess with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line. I almost kind of want to be like Shorty. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EM Fangirls. And you can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. And email us at emfangirls@gmail.com. If you want to yell at me about how unenthused I am about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, like, go for it. But, like, I'm not offended. Also, if you want us to talk about other anime in the future, like, maybe send that to us. Because, like, yeah, I guess I'll watch more.
Yeah, if you want us to just... Or us. If you want me to just go off on anime, we can. If you want us to bring back Joyce and we can go off about anime, we can.
Yeah. So you can do that at emfangirls@gmail.com. And please rate, review on Apple Podcasts. That'll really help the podcast to let people know that you like us. And you can also follow us and listen to us on Spotify and Stitcher and all those other places that you can listen to podcasts.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland. Thanks to us for